This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall in Washington. Britain's Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, today sounded hopeful about the ruling Conservative Party's talks with the opposition Labour Party over Brexit. Meanwhile, British Prime Minister Theresa May waits for the European Union to grant her another extension in the timetable for London's EU departure. The current date is April 12th. From London, AP correspondent Zaria Shackley reports on Brexit scenarios that could lie ahead.
If Britain can't break the impasse, it risks crashing out of the EU without a deal. This could lead to tariffs on trade between Britain and the EU, as well as custom checks that could cause gridlock at ports and shortages of essential goods. Or there could be a breakthrough. Britain might find a compromise solution that gains majority support in its deeply divided parliament. If the parliament can't agree on a way forward, European Council President Donald Tusk is urging a Brexit delay of up to 1 year, but with built-in flexibility to let Britain leave earlier if he has an agreement in place. Or there could be a second referendum. Zaria Shackley, London.
The United Nations Secretary General says he hopes a bloody civil war can be avoided in Libya. But with the so-called National Libyan Army fighting for control of the country, that may not be easy. From Reuters, here is Mia Warmersley.
Commanded by Khalifa Haftar, the Libyan National Army said it had taken control of the former international airport by nightfall on Friday. The government claims it has retaken it. The provocative move came as UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres departed after meeting Haftar to try to avert a civil war.
With a deep concern and a heavy heart, I still hope it will be possible to avoid a bloody confrontation.
That report was filed by Mia Warmersley of Reuters. For all the day's news, we invite you online to voanews.com. You can also use the VOA News mobile app. This is VOA News. An attorney representing U.S. President Donald Trump says it would be a dangerous precedent if the IRS handed over the Trump tax returns being sought by a Democratic Party-led House committee. AP correspondent Jackie Quinn has a report.
In a letter to the Treasury Department, Attorney William Consovoy says U.S. tax code zealously guards the privacy of a taxpayer. And if there is a request for tax returns, it needs to have a legitimate legislative reason. The attorney says it appears the only reason the House Ways and Means Committee Chairman, Democrat Richard Neal, requested 6 years worth of Trump's business and personal tax returns is to politically damage the president. Consovoy, hired to handle this legislative request, says the IRS needs to consult with the Justice Department before releasing any of the president's tax information. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
The United Nations reports armed men killed dozens of civilians and forced thousands of others to flee during increasingly violent and frequent attacks last month in the Difa region in southeastern Niger. The region has been victimized by the Boko Haram insurgency in northeastern Nigeria. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UN officials say the spike in violence and displacement is related to increased activity by Boko Haram or Boko Haram-affiliated armed groups in the Lake Chad Basin. They report 88 civilians were killed last month alone, compared to a total of 107 civilian deaths during all of 2018. Spokesman for the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Jens Lajerke, tells VOA the dramatic jump in the number of attacks and civilian deaths seemed to indicate a shift in tactics by these armed groups. He says very vulnerable civilians appear to be deliberately targeted.
That was Lisa Schlein for VOA from Geneva. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence has announced sanctions on 34 vessels of Venezuela's state oil company and two companies that ship crude oil to Cuba. It is part of Washington's campaign to see the downfall of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, making way for opposition leader Juan Guaido, who has the support of the United States and 50 other countries as Venezuela's rightful leader. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the shipments to Cuba are providing a lifeline to keep what he called the illegitimate Maduro regime afloat. The U.S. envoy negotiating with the Taliban to end the 18-year-old war in Afghanistan has held talks with top officials in neighboring Pakistan and briefed them on his recent meetings with Afghan and Taliban leaders. Zalmay Khalilzad arrived in Islamabad after spending 5 days in Kabul. More news at voanews.com. Gene Randall, VOA News, Washington.
Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington. And thanks to my colleague Douglas Mpuga for hosting the show while I was away on a special assignment.
I don't see a situation whereby if Dr. Muto remain aligned to the former president, I don't see a situation whereby the two will necessarily reconcile. You see, this battle has been so dirty that it even involved issues of tribalism.
The Botswana ruling party elect Mokgweetsi Masisi as presidential candidate for the October general election.
Many of the investors suffered because they have followed his commitment, his reasoning in the fight against corruption. So, thoroughly able for business, I'm pretty sure in the not too distant future, we'll have investors flooding into the country.
The Sierra Leonean government marks 1 year anniversary following the election of President Julius Maada Bio.
Anybody who dared to feel himself for presidential elections, the second one which took place last year, actually was either put in jail or, you know, put in house under house arrest.
And Egyptian opposition expresses concern about plans to amend the constitution to enable President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to seek additional terms in office. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Botswana Democratic Party, or BDP, is coming under criticisms following the election of President Mokgweetsi Masisi as its candidate for the October general election. The president was unopposed after his challenger, former Foreign Minister Pelenomi Vincent Motoa, pulled out hours before the vote, saying the election was a sham. She said contesting the poll would legitimize the process, adding that the vote was rigged to favor the president. But opposition and civil society groups say the election of the president is a strong indication of the ruling party's lack of internal democracy. For analysis, I reach attorney Anthony Murima in the Botswana capital, Gaborone.
Since His Excellency the President assumed office, he has managed to change the people's perceptions towards the Botswana Democratic Party, because prior to that, many people had become disenchanted with the leadership of the former president, Dr. Sretakhama Ian Khama. So generally, many people have accepted his victory, and generally many people believe that as a result of his victory, the BDP will continue in power come the elections that are coming in October. Of course, there is a defection within the BDP, which belongs to Dr. Vincent Muitoi, who are standing against him, who are obviously not elated at his victory. But generally, one would say many Botswana, even those who were hitherto staunch supporters of the opposition, for example, have sort of sifted because of the changes that they believe he has brought to the leadership of the country.
Some are questioning the party's internal democracy after Pelenomi, the former foreign minister and presidential aspirant, decided to withdraw, saying she will not legitimize what she described as a sham. What is your take?
I was deeply saddened and disappointed at the reaction of the party leadership following Mamistoi's decision to stand. Firstly, the president's swift decision to remove her from cabinet. And then secondly, the clear orchestration which was done by the party leadership, where even the secretary general, it was very clear that he had taken sides and was clearly on the side of His Excellency the President. Despite the fact that Mami Toy had long called for promulgation of rules to regulate or to govern the presidential elections themselves, that was not taken heed of. That notwithstanding, I did not take well to Mami Toy's decision when she later cast aspersions against the decision of the court, calling it as if it's something that is useless. In our country, our judiciary stands to judicial independence. And when it has made a decision, generally it's accepted that the decision should stand. So one would have expected Mami Toy, though she does not agree with the decision, to accept it. Also, her statement that she will not attend the Congress, I also didn't think it was proper, because as a true Democrat, once you lose, for example, in court, and you're expected to go to a National Assembly, you do that to show that you accept the decisions of the other arm of government, which is the judiciary.
President Masisi says he is going to make overtures to Pelonomi as a unity measure. Do you see this happening, particularly when he removed her from cabinet because she is supposedly a strong ally of former President Ian Khama, whom appear to have fallen out with the current president?
Yes, I think it was just a grandstanding, because if you look at the conduct between the two, the relationship between the two throughout, there is nothing that would necessarily suggest that now that he has emerged victorious, such will be done, especially if Dr. Muitoi will remain aligned to the former president, whom all would accept today that basically don't see eye to eye. So I don't see a situation whereby if Dr. Muitoi will remain aligned to the former president, I don't see a situation whereby the two will necessarily reconcile. You see, this battle has been so dirty that it even involved issues of tribalism, if you like, where there were suddenly allegations that Dr. Muitoi is not a Motswana OCK, but a Motswana because of papers. That seems to have cut very deep in Dr. Muitoi's heart.
What do you make of former President Ian Khama's recent statement in an interview that he regrets picking his former Vice President Masisi to replace him, and that he possibly misjudged him, though he thought he was the right person to lead Botswana? Do you see a possible reconciliation despite attempts by the party leadership to try to resolve the issues between the two gentlemen?
No, I don't see a possibility of reconciliation. You remember the party elders, including the former president, Dr. Festus Mogae, failed to bring reconciliation to the two, as well as other party elders, former members of parliament, for example. Like I stated earlier, this you remember the visit of the former president, for example, to meet the Dalai Lama in India. I think it also exacerbated the acrimony between the two, because it touched at the heart, in Masisi's view, of the country's foreign relations, especially considering the interviews that he gave while he was in foreign land, especially in South Africa.
Anthony Morima is a Botswana lawyer. He spoke with me from Habaroni. Malawian Information Minister Henry Musa has expressed concern that some politicians are spreading false information as they campaign ahead of the upcoming May 21 general election. At a news conference in the capital along with Friday, the information minister cautioned aspiring candidates to be truthful and provide the right information to prospective voters to choose the best candidate to lead the country. For more, I reach Malawian Information Minister Henry Musa.
We have a lady that once upon a time was the head of state, recently, you know, making pronouncements that she is the saint, she's holier than anybody else in as far as the Cashgate scandal is concerned. And that if the government had cases or had issues with her by now, she should have been in court and so on and so forth. Now, I was saying, sorry, it can never be the government just like that to probe or to arrest anybody, but we do have the law enforcement agencies that already are making progress into this matter. Malawians need answers. Where is their money? About 25 billion Malawi kwacha that went vanishing through the Cashgate scandal.
Some Malawians are saying it appears the government has been rattled by her ongoing campaign for Lazarus Chakwera, such that the government will bring this up just to intimidate and harass her, and that this is fraught with political calculations just to score political points ahead of the elections on May 21. How do you respond to that?
Look, that's the very reason why the government is saying we are not party into arresting Joyce Banda, but the law enforcement agencies are into it, and we are simply saying she should slow down by exonerating herself to say she's holier than thou, she's innocent. That's why nobody is talking about it. We are not talking about it because we are not the law enforcers. Anti-Corruption Bureau, the courts, are currently hearing on these cases. And I'm saying those that are serving sentence now, some of them have mentioned her to say she was a mastermind in as far as Kashgar is concerned. So she should not run away from the facts. To bring in politics at this hour, we're not trying to set the record straight. It's unfortunate. Chakwera himself, when he was campaigning in 2014 as a transformational leader, he was in the forefront calling for Joyce Banda to explain her role in the Kashgar. He even went further to say he will not work or associate himself with the recycled politicians, let alone those that are implicated in the Kashgar. And yet today, Chakwera is in the forefront, this is the leader of Malawi Congress Party, saying, well, Joyce Banda is innocent. We together, we're going to form the next administration. Which administration?
Well, there are also concerns that the DPP or the government is using some thugs and hoodlums to attack opponents, and they said they have seen instances across the country in Lilongwe, Blantyre, and other towns and cities, and that this is fueled by the government propaganda against some individuals of the opposition. How are you addressing this concern?
Look, that's speculation. In fact, we have a very, very disciplined police service in Malawi. Regardless of whether you're from a ruling party or from the opposition party, they are professionals. They are doing their job, flashing out all these hooligans and so on and so forth. There is not even a single one from the government side that has been apprehended on these matters. Believe you me, they are really desperate now. They'll tell you anything to suit their convenience. But the fact of the matter is, in 40 days from now, the current administration under Professor Rabida Mutharika will triumph. We've done it all. You know, Malawians are not stupid. They see things for themselves. The government is delivering. So it's a foregone conclusion. In fact, if you ask me, Malawians have already made up their minds. They've already voted in their minds. It's just a question of the D-Day to finish it up.
Well, some are saying the recent polls gives them confidence that an opposition alliance could spell the doom of President Arthur Peter Mutharika, because people are jobless, because promises he made, he has yet to keep them, and that Malawians are worse off than when he came. And that is why Malawians want change.
Look, when you talk about alliances, listen, the alliances that they are referring to is neither here nor there. Joyce Banda and her political party, PP, is defunct. There is nobody left there. They all fizzled out. Some joined the ruling party. Some went to the other political party called the United Democratic Front. She is left with nothing. Yeah, just there to save her face. That's what is happening. In terms of numbers, there's nothing. That's the alliance, the only alliance that is there. The other guy from the northern region is a one-party briefcase political party. He's alone. Kumbo Kachali, who has been promised the position of second vice president in the government. Where are the people? He's alone. Munga, you know, there's nothing there.
Henry Musa is the Malawian Information Minister. He spoke with me from Lilongwe. Sierra Leonean President Julius Maada Bio marked his first official one-year anniversary in office Thursday. His administration in Freetown says the president is undeterred in his commitment to jumpstart the economy, to improve the living conditions of Sierra Leoneans, as well as weed out corruption. But opposition groups say many Sierra Leoneans face hardship due to lack of jobs, despite repeated promises. They also say the fight against corruption is a ploy to persecute former administration officials, an accusation the government denies. For more on the government's performance since the president's election a year ago, I reach Information Minister Mohamed Rahman Swari.
During the period we took over, the economy was so grindingly difficult that public sector workers were only paid from overdraft and bank lending. We have, within a very short period, been able to meet all domestic obligations without recourse to lending to overdraft. This is a stellar achievement. In the same context, we have been able to implement an ambitious free quality education for development program, because President Bio campaigned on that platform and he's been able to roll that out to the consternation of all. Remember, during the campaign, he promised free quality education as a way of empowering every Sierra Leonean to realize their fullest potentials and to position them to make remarkable national contributions. Today, that is a dream come true, and he's gone further to allocate 21% of the national budget to education. He has also been able to recruit 4,000 teachers to complement its efforts in delivering pre-quality education, amongst other things.
There were reports of $1 billion that were allegedly stolen during the previous administration. How is your government tackling this as part of the fight against corruption that the president promised Sierra Leoneans?
The audit itself was undertaken by a multidisciplinary team of quintessential professionals drawn in from Ghana, Tanzania, and Kenya, from various Supreme Audit institutions. They worked alongside our national Sierra Leone audit Sierra Leone to put together a very, very clinical and rigorous report. The report lays bare and clear, right, cinematic accounts of graphs how government resources were diverted into bottomless private pockets, and it did not stop at that. It also made appropriate recommendations for recovery, right? I did say government should make every effort to ensure that those who have pilfered government resources should refund them latest 30th of June. In other cases, they recommended further investigation. So the Minister of Finance, Mr. Jacob Chisholm-Safa, in launching the report, mentioned that the options are up to government, anti-corruption are free to pursue it, and already the Anti-Corruption Commission has begun looking into some of those allegations. While at the same time, the Law Officers Department is also free to make recommendations while the report awaits formal presentation to the House of Parliament. So it's a multi-pronged approach.
Some are saying that it appears that the government, and for that matter, President Madabio, is going after his supposed political opponents and enemies by using this fight against corruption to persecute them. How do you respond to that?
Well, I didn't know that it is perceived political opponents that are the corrupt elements in our society. President Bio has cast his net far and wide. He has made it clear there are no sacred cows. So anybody, whoever, including serving ministers in his government who are involved in graft, he has repeatedly said he will discharge from positions of trust and made to face the music. So I am surprised, that the APC members of the opposition are saying it is a war against them. Is it only they who have been corrupt in the recent history of our country? That's the question they must be asking us themselves. But time to count number, we have said this is a call to democratic accountability. Nobody is running after anybody's right. I mean, these are stolen resources. We simply want them returned to the country.
Some Sierra Leoneans are complaining about hardships and that there are no jobs and that the economy is not booming as the government has been touting. How do you respond to them?
Well, I mean, they are very right. I mean, corruption has choked life out of our country. I'm telling you about $1 billion stolen, ending up in bottomless private pockets. I just imagine if all of those resources are plunged back into our country, that will create a vast area of opportunities for a myriad of unemployed youth who are ambling up and down the streets looking for opportunities. That is aside from, the startling revelations currently being made at the commissions of inquiry. Like President Bill always says, corruption has choked the very development process. But more importantly, we took over government on the eve when virtually all the mining companies have shut down, right? So it's a very constrained and difficult environment. But the good news is President Bill has been traveling the world over and reclaiming the trust and confidence of private sector that Sierra Leone is open for business. He has been touting the rich touristic potential of our country, the blue economy, and the opportunities for investment in Sierra Leone. And many of the investors trust him because they have followed his commitment, his resilience in the fight against corruption. So Sierra Leone is open for business. I am pretty sure in the not too distant future, we'll have investors flooding into the country.
Mohamed Rahman Souare is the Sierra Leonean Information Minister. He spoke with me from the Guinean capital, Conakry. Egyptian parliamentarians approved a measure to amend the constitution which would pave the way for President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi to stay in power until 2034. When approved by parliamentarians, the amendment will extend presidential terms from 4 to 6 years. Meanwhile, the Egyptian community in the U.S. is endorsing the constitutional amendment, but opposition groups say the constitutional amendment measure is a power grab supported by loyalists of the president in parliament. For more about their concerns, I sat down with Dr. Amer Darag, a former Egyptian cabinet minister.
Definitely, this is the final stage of the Sisi's aspiration to control Egypt. Without these amendments, he would have left office 2 years from now, maximum. But this way he's going to stay forever and probably have also projects to inherit this position to his sons, the same way Mubarak used to be doing. And this is something that is, to be honest, disastrous for the country, because it is being run as a military camp. There's no room for freedoms or expression of opinion. Economy is quite bad. And actually the position of Egypt in the region has pretty much deteriorated. Egypt used to have the leading seat in the region, and everybody was following. Right now, Egypt is not, unfortunately, in the good position that it used to be. So for this to continue for 15 more years or whatever, this is a disaster.
But you have a sizable number of lawmakers in Egyptian parliament supporting this measure. So why are you against it when the majority of the people who were voted into power are for it?
We have to know how these MPs reached their positions. Actually, after the coup, there was extensive work, and this is documented, extensive work by the security agencies, the intelligence bodies, to recruit people who have very little or anything to do with politics. They don't belong to credible political parties. They just obey what they are told to be doing. And the parliament was formulated this way. So I would say that at least 90% of the MPs in the parliament are 100% following what the regime is telling them to do. So, and the amendments that they are proposing, actually it is, they made it look as if they proposed these amendments, but they are coming again from the Sisi and his machine. So this is not actually a measure at all that these amendments have any kind of support. If you want to do how these are received, you have to look at the reactions of people on social media. Of course, there is very little room for expression, but on social media, there are a lot of campaigns rejecting these amendments and actually rejecting the whole political sphere. Even if that constitution actually is a new one that was put after the coup. So I cannot say that we are 100% happy with what is in that constitution, or we are defending that constitution per se. But
some people in Egypt are saying there's a groundswell of support for President Sisi's government, and they want a sustainable leadership, strong, improved security, and that is the leadership, they said, President Sisi is providing. So that is why they want to extend his stay.
That was the case right after the coup. At that time, Sisi was portrayed as a savior of Egypt, who saved it from the dark future that it was about to see. And a lot of people believed that. And yes, at that time, he had considerable support that allowed him to be elected easily as president, and then allowed him to stay in power and do a lot of things. When he started, he was actually after a limited portion of the society, which is Islamists mainly, who used to be in government or related to government or having influence in the society. And he gave the impression to others as if they are going to have place to flourish and be heard, you know. But actually, it turned out that he is against everybody. He started to imprison all of his opponents, which is practically any politician in Egypt, anybody who dared to field himself for presidential elections, the second one, which took place last year, actually was either put in jail or, you know, put in house under house arrest, including the ex-military chief of staff Sami Anan, a very prominent figure, and he is still in prison actually, long time after the election. So people started to realize that this is not the free environment that they wanted.
Dr. Amar Darag is a former Egyptian cabinet minister. He spoke with me from here in Washington, D.C.
Music time in Africa. Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Friday at 0900 and Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 15, 20, and 2200 hours UTC.
You are listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, the United Nations reports armed men killed dozens of civilians and displaced thousands during increasingly violent and frequent attacks last month in the Diffa region in southeastern Niger. The Diffa region, which borders Nigeria and Chad, is home to more than 200,000 internally displaced people and refugees victimized by the Boko Haram insurgency in northeastern Nigeria. For VOA, Lisa Schlein has more from Geneva.
UN officials say the spike in violence and displacement is related to increased activity by Boko Haram or Boko Haram-affiliated armed groups in the Lake Chad Basin. They report 88 civilians were killed last month alone, compared to a total of 107 civilian deaths during all of 2018. Spokesman for the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Jens Lajerke, tells VOA the dramatic jump in the number of attacks and civilian deaths seem to indicate a shift in tactics by these armed groups. He says very vulnerable civilians appear to be deliberately targeted.
It's not only armed men fighting armed men. It is also armed men fighting civilians, families, women and children. So that is, of course, very disturbing. Some of those who have been targeted in these attacks in March were already displaced people, and some were already refugees.
The United Nations reports the 21 attacks carried out in March forced nearly 18,500 people to flee their homes. It says they have joined the already heavily populated settlements of internally displaced people and refugees in the urban center of Diffa and surrounding areas. Despite the increased violence in the region, Lajerke says there will be no break in the UN's humanitarian operations. He says aid workers will continue to assist the desperate people. He says a recent assessment mission shows people are in critical need of water and sanitation, shelter, food, and household items. He says the needs are there and the will to help is there. Unfortunately, he notes, the money needed to provide this aid is not there. He says the international community has contributed less than 3% of the UN's $383 million appeal for humanitarian operations in Niger this year. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Cameroon has deployed troops to crack down on protesters asking for the release from jail of 150 opposition party members, including their leader Maurice Kamto, who says he won the October presidential election. Kamto has been in jail for more than 2 months, and his supporters say he should be released unconditionally. For VOA, Moki Edward Kenzaka reports from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
It is a quiet but tense Saturday morning in some neighborhoods of Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, as residents go about their daily activities, watched by combat-ready police. Half a dozen officers have been deployed around the headquarters of the Cameroon Renaissance Movement Party of Maurice Kamto, who remains in jail and insists he won the presidential election on October 7, even though official results give a decisive victory to incumbent Paul Biya. Territorial Administration Minister Paul Atanganji says security forces are there to protect the population from the opposition political party that he says wants to see the country in chaos.
Le président de la République a fait du Cameroun un pays de paix et un pays de liberté. Les Camerounais aiment la paix.
He says even though President Paul Biya has kept Cameroon democratic and peaceful with freedoms and liberties, authorities will not accept protests carried out in disrespect of the law, and they will not tolerate those who want to use violence to make their voices heard. He says Cameroonians are peace-loving people who reject the violence some opposition parties want to bring. Atanganji said Saturday the government banned protests organized by the opposition MCR party until April 13 because the action is provocative and intended to create an uprising in a country that already has Boko Haram terrorism to combat with on its northern border with Nigeria. He points out that Cameroon also has suffered from carnage that has spilled over from the neighboring Central African Republic on its eastern border and has had to deal with the separatist crisis that killed at least 1,000 people in the English-speaking regions of the bilingual country that also has French as an official language. Atanganji said April 6, which the MRC chose for its protest, remains a painful day for Cameroonians because it is the anniversary of a 1984 coup attempt to oust Biya from power. He said he has instructed all 10 regional governors to arrest anyone who protests. MRC Party Secretary General Christopher Ndong says members are mobilized and ready to demonstrate their support for jailed members of their party and Kamto, who claims his victory was stolen by Biya.
Do you expect us to fold our hands and stand? Professor Maurice Kamto won the 2018 presidential elections, and the president that was supposed to be is the one caught and locked up. The government does not want to leave him take over power. Our liberties are infringed. Our right to freedom of speech infringed. It's not because the government is clamping down on us that will make the population fear.
The protesters had asked for authorization to march and asked the government to solve the crisis in the English-speaking regions that has gone on for 3 years. Pierre-Hubert Mbida of the Cameroon Citizenship Movement says by refusing to authorize the protest and deploying security forces to clamp down on protesters, Cameroon is simply confirming that it disrespects people's rights and freedoms.
Je trouve qu'il y a un recul terrible en matière de gestion des libertés publiques. Lorsque des gens se réunissent pour féliciter...
He says the Cameroon government is abusing public liberties and people's freedoms and expresses joy only when its supporters sing praises about its management of public affairs, governance, and its long-serving leader Paul Biya. He says it is funny that when people go to the streets to complain that they lack water to drink, they are described as unpatriotic citizens who are a menace to public order. He says it is intolerable that for quite some time now, Cameroon has continued to recruit soldiers to protect its leaders. Biya, who has led Cameroon for 36 years, won 71.3% of the vote, far ahead of Kamto's 14.2% in the October 7 poll. Police arrested Kamto and his supporters more than 2 months ago, after days of peaceful protest turned violent in Yaoundé and three other cities. Kamto is charged with sedition, insurrection, and inciting violence in Cameroon and its embassies, including Paris and Berlin. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Jenny Raj Vero in town down. Only you.
And right now it's time for music from our African collection. You are hearing from Ali Kiba with Only You. He will be followed by Winnie Kumalo with Impilo. Then Iyaya featuring Don Jazzy come with Gift. And then followed by Vinka with Kuna. We ended up with Wizkid featuring Two Face with Dance.
Oh, yeah. tractor. Pull and pull a faker. Going for some mess me lecture. You me body director. I'll be your inspector. Be my undertaker. Boy, Zanteka. Mugamba you me set up. Funa won't take her. The one job so safe.
Swans.
The now I never fuga. A kilometer point, the ones it. Go on a fuga. Somebody crawling for emergency. There's a rimba room walker. Corner, 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 corner. 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 They watch your money, we watch your color. Let me show them how to do in my mula. Tunanga swin mula. Me leave them back. Tula, eh. Mundongo te waba kutula. Kuba kunyumi rakuka. I dig out them, they say them brothers. Me a kill them, no me a the brothers. Ze na wane fuga. Ya kila miti boy, ze wanzi. Ga wane fuga. Somebody crawling for him, I see. De so rimba room waka. Kuna, 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 kuna. Rimba room waka. Kuna, kuna, kuna. Me one drive your body like a tractor. Pull and pull a faker. Going to some mess of me lecture. You me body director. I'll be your inspector. Be my undertaker. Boy, Zanteka. Mugamba you me set up. Funa won't take her. Ze wenjoku so safe. Ze na wane fuga. Ya kila miti boy ze wanzi. Ga wane fuga. Somebody calling for emergency. Yes, a rimba room waka. Kuna, 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 kuna. Rimba room waka. Kuna, 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 kuna. Rimba room waka. Kuna, 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 kuna. Rimba room waka. Kuna, 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 kuna.
Boys, man.
Season. Make you dance and feel the flow. Make you drink and party with me. When the body don't start to play, say you know I'm the melody key.
And anything you need, I got ya. And don't be. You got, I got the answer.
What you're feeling inside you, you got to let me know. Say what I'm feeling inside me, I got to let it show. And you know, when they see apa, I know they see nothing. And you know, when they see apa, I know they see person. I want you to dance, go. Yeah, I want you to dance, go. Yeah, I want you to move.
Nothing like on down, intention not to paint the town brown. Style and class, the hobby one she. Anybody gon' come for here, them know the drill. Hey, oh yeah, make it cheese. For real.
I'm not a jolly, nah, he matter.
And don't do be, oh yeah, I'm bad.
So baby, scared, baby, come closer.
Cause I don't bite, plus any question you got, I got the answer.
What you feeling inside you, you got to let me know. Say what I'm feeling inside me, I got to let it show. And you know, Odo Viapa, I know they see nothing. And you know, when I see Apa, I know they see person. I want you to dance, go. They see nothing, and you know when they see apa, I know they see person.
Oh, I'm making a dance go. Oh, I'm making a dance go.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm making a dance go. Hey, hey. Oh, I'm making a dance go. Dance go. Hey. Catch your vibe and get dancing, baby. Catch your vibe and get dancing, baby.
Just one additional song, Waka Waka by Shakira, and that was Music from the Continent. We hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, managing editor Shaka Sali, reporter Douglas Impuga, producer Saida Hamdoun, and our engineer for today, John Dryden, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, the hunter's name is always connected to the meat of the elephant. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.